This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. According to reports from across Massachusetts, voter turnout has been heavy on this election day. As of noon, about 27% of registered voters in Boston had already cast their ballots. That's over 103,000 voters.
In some precincts, people have waited as long as 2 hours to vote. Massachusetts Secretary of State William Galvin predicts that 3.2 million voters across Massachusetts will cast ballots today, surpassing voter turnout out in the 2008 presidential election.
With just under 5 hours to go until the polls close, we'll be checking in with our reporters at voting stations across the state.
And we'll start in Belmont, where Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and his wife Anne came home to cast their ballots this morning. Belmont usually votes Democratic, but some 200 people, you heard them there, many of them Romney supporters, lined the streets and cheered the arrival of the Romney motorcade, which shut down traffic in this usually quiet residential neighborhood on Beach Street.
Among those voters was Belmont resident Gigi Rizzuto.
We are so honored and so proud of Mitt Romney. You know, when Obama became president of the United States, I had hope. Now that it's been 4 years, what has he done?
And the fact that Mitt Romney is a neighbor?
I think it's such an honor to think that this man is here in our hometown, and it will be in our history books. And I just hope that he is our next commander-in-chief.
My name's Mary Bradley. I live right across the street.
So lots of excitement this morning, folks voting shoulder to shoulder with Mitt Romney. Tell me how you feel about that.
Well, I feel like this isn't a very good representation of this precinct because I know the majority of people in this precinct support Obama, and there are a lot of Romney people here. So definitely I'm supporting Barack Obama and Joe Biden because I'm thinking about a world that I want to live in. I'm concerned about global warming. I'm concerned about our economy, and I know that our economy is growing. He's done an amazing thing bringing us from the brink to a place where we're growing. So definitely I'm supporting Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
Mary Bradley of Belmont. When asked how he voted this morning, Mitt Romney replied, "I think you know."
Well, another highly contested race in Massachusetts, of course, is the Senate race between incumbent Senator Scott Brown and challenger Elizabeth Warren. Here's Warren after she voted in Cambridge this morning.
I'm just excited to have had a chance to go in and vote. When I was a little girl, my mom worked the election polls, and I can still remember being 6 and 7 years old and lying under the table where she checked people in. And it's just nice to be here all these years later and just be part of this process.
And incumbent Republican Senator Scott Brown voted in his hometown of Wrentham and then expressed confidence about the outcome of this closely fought campaign.
Yeah, I've done everything I could. I slept very well last night and reflect every day. Every day I've been a senator, I reflect as to how I can be a better senator and be a better man. And I feel very good about what we did and how we handled it. And now we'll see what happens.
WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerov was in Wrentham this morning as the polls opened. Monica, I understand when you were there, you saw some long lines.
There were very long lines, and Senator Brown and his wife and daughter had to stand in line, just like the rest of many of us who voted today, waiting about 15 minutes to cast his ballot. And Brown said he'd never seen lines this long in all of his years of voting, and certainly not in Wrentham. So I think it's indicative of how heavy the turnout has been in this state so far.
And Monica, when you spoke to those Wrentham voters who were waiting in the line with you, what did they say was driving their votes this year?
Meghna, it was evenly divided. Some people cited character and character issues that in how they made up their minds in the Senate race, and others cited specific issues. So it seemed like a mixed bag.
WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerov, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And joining us now is WBUR's Fred Tice, who was in Weymouth this morning. And Fred, I understand you've voted there in Weymouth for the past 8 years now. Was today any different?
It was very different, Anthony. I've never seen such a long line. It was a long, snaking line inside the Pingree School in Weymouth, in East Weymouth. I was talking to people who were in line who'd been living in Weymouth a lot longer than I have, and they said that they had never seen anything like that either. And some of the people in line were quite excited about that fact. They felt it was good that people were exercising their vote.
Well, one of the voters you spoke with earlier was Robert Keene. Though there was a big turnout, he noted that there's something more about voting than simply showing up at the polls. Let's listen.
it's not just a matter of voting or expressing an opinion. It's having an informed opinion. I'm really hoping that everyone who voted today, you know, took the time to at least learn a few things about the issues and about the candidates and put their, you know, added their own values and voted accordingly.
So, Fred, Weymouth is a, tell us a little bit about what Weymouth tells us about this election.
Generally, it predicts the outcome of the election. Not in every case, but in most cases. And then it is also the town with the greatest percentage of union households in Massachusetts. And we care about that in this race because after 2 years ago, Scott Brown won pretty much half the union rank and file vote in his race against Martha Coakley, even though the unions endorsed Martha Coakley. And one of the things I was looking for was to see all these guys in pickup trucks who had shown up that January morning 2 years ago. And I didn't see so many pickup trucks this time and, you know, found a pretty even mix of people who said they were going to vote for Warren or Brown. So we'll have to see how well he does.
Very interesting. WBUR's Fred Tice reporting from Weymouth. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Anthony.
WBUR's Dolores Handy was in Dorchester this morning just before the polls opened, and she spoke with Jennifer Griffin, a voter who was one of the first in line and had been waiting at her polling station since 6:30 in the morning. Here's why.
I gotta go to work and school, so I wouldn't be able to make it to the polls in time to come back and vote.
Why was this so important to be here? To vote today?
Exercise my right, because, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't vote, you know, you can't really make a complaint about anything.
Rakena Chan arrived at the polls a little after Jennifer did at 10 to 7 in the morning. She moved here from Cambodia 6 years ago. And here's what Rakena told Dolores when Dolores asked her why it was so important that she be there to vote.
Because I have right to vote. I have to vote. I have to choose who I want. Like, we live in here. We want to get who really want to work for America.
A number of other voters that Dolores spoke with said that the Senate race was one of the most important motivators for them to go to the polls this year.
Well, let's move north now to Newburyport. That's the 6th Congressional District. WBUR's Shannon Mullen is on the line. Hi, Shannon.
Hey, Anthony.
And, of course, John Tierney, Richard Tesei are up against each other in a very bitter fight for Congress up there. Tell us what you're seeing in terms of voter turnout. What did you observe today?
Well, great turnout. I got there around midday just as the lunch rush was tailing off, and now I'm over at a precinct in Newburyport where I think the after-school early evening rush is just starting. The police are having a bit of trouble controlling traffic here, getting into the precinct. It seems to be backing up into a main street, so it seems like a hearty turnout so far.
Hearty turnout. That seems to be the story across the state. Thanks very much. That's WBUR's Shannon Mullen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Josh Rogers is the political reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio, so let's move a little bit north to the Granite State, and he joins us from Concord, New Hampshire. Hi there, Josh.
Hi, Magna.
So give us a glimpse of turnout north of the border.
It looks pretty strong. I've been out in a couple wards in Manchester, for instance, Ward 1, a big voting ward in the north part of the city. About 5,000 people are registered in the ward, and by 11 o'clock, 4,000 had voted, and there were big lines. You know, reports from polling places across the state suggest turnout will be large. Secretary of State Bill Gardner had predicted that about 70% of eligible voters would vote. That's 722,000 people, and there's little to suggest that prediction won't at least be met.
And Josh, I was interested to note this morning that, as per usual, Dixville Notch, tiny Dixville Notch in New Hampshire, is the first to vote. It voted 5-5 on either side of this presidential ticket, so a tie. Is that sort of signaling what you're seeing over the course of the day in terms of what people are voting for regarding the Obama-Romney race?
It's hard to know with a big, you know, both Republicans and Democrats are sort of touting turnout in areas that they believe are going to be instrumental for their candidate. You know, I'm not going to go out on a limb, but it looks pretty tight. And in New Hampshire, we've got, you know, races that have been tight in the polls right up to the very end across the ticket, not simply the presidential, but the governor's race and our two congressional seats.
And finally, Josh, New Hampshire has a new voter ID law that's actually being implemented today. Remind us what the rules are around that ID law, and have there been any complications so far?
What the law requires is that somebody present an ID to receive a ballot and vote. If you don't have an ID, though, you can sign an affidavit and vote anyway. So it's not an absolute requirement to have an ID, but you voters are being asked to present one. Thus far, I haven't heard any stories that it was providing real hardship. I think there were concerns that it was going to slow things down at the polls, and there have been You know, there's reports in one ward in Concord, for instance, where, you know, 50 people had signed the affidavit and voted without an ID. That's a ward where a lot of senior citizens live, and so I haven't heard any horror stories yet about people not being able to vote.
Josh Rogers is the political reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio. Thanks so much, Josh.
You're welcome, Magna.
And finally, WBUR's Bob Hoax, host of Morning Edition, joins us right here in the studio. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon.
You. Thank you for coming in. So you headed out to your hometown of Dudley to vote. What was the scene out there in the central part of the state?
Well, Dudley, southern Worcester County, in my little precinct at midday, there were about 600 people who had already cast their ballots. I spied the ballot box and looked at the counter to get an accurate count myself, and that's way higher than normal for midday in the little town of Dudley. Town hall was jammed in a way that I'd never seen before in my 20 years of voting there. And, of course, Worcester County is crucial to Scott Brown because in 2010 he won all the towns in Worcester County, all the 60-plus towns, except for the city of Worcester and one other small town in Worcester County. And he's going to need them all again in order to offset the urban vote that Elizabeth Warren is going to get today and tonight and the vote in the Boston suburbs that she's going to pull as well. So I would think that the Brown campaign would be heartened a little bit by the crowds in the small towns today.
Well, you know, you mentioned that urban vote, and we've been hearing people all over Massachusetts and Boston talking about voter turnout. When I was moving from Somerville today up through Cambridge, I saw long lines across East Somerville, Central Somerville, North Cambridge, people wrapping around the block. So seems like a heavy vote everywhere. It'll be interesting to see what the Secretary of State's final numbers are.
Well, and Fred Tice pointed out that the union vote is expected to come out today. And when I was in the city of Worcester this weekend, I ran into the head of the AFL-CIO for all of Worcester County, and he told me that on Saturday they fielded several hundred people, union people, just to work in the city of Worcester alone, and they were knocking, they said, they were knocking on every union door in the city of Worcester where they figured they had a Warren vote in order to try and encourage them to get to the polls today, and then they were going back today to actually get those people to the polls.
Now, Bob, of course, you're with us for the duration. You're going to be following the election for the rest of the day. What's coming up over the course of the evening that we can count on hearing from you and from WBUR?
Well, in the 7 to 8 o'clock hour, of course, the polls aren't quite closed in Massachusetts, so we'll try and preview what might be coming for either the short or the long night ahead after the polls close in Massachusetts. But, of course, nationally, we get two important results in the 7 o'clock hour because the polls close in Virginia, a battleground state, at 7 o'clock, and they close at 7:30 in the all-important state of Ohio. So by 8 o'clock, we may have a pretty good feel, or at least some feel, as to which way the presidential race is going to go for the evening.
Or whether it's going to be a long night. We'll get a clue from those two states as well. WBUR's Bob Hoax, stay with him. Again, election coverage will be beginning at 7 p.m. right here on WBUR.
And stay with us right now because up next, as you know, voting is one way of participating in civic life. One local entrepreneur has another suggestion. His company, Citizenvestor, offers a way to crowdfund public works projects. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.